This is Maurice Philogene, and welcome to the Try Life On podcast. Well, you may not believe it, but I've been an actor. I've tried out for the NFL, been a street cop, federal agent. I worked my way up the military chain of command to the rank of lieutenant colonel. I was also an executive at a global consulting firm, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate in the United States. I've started developing on a Mediterranean island, and to boot, I've traveled to 100 countries over 300 times, and generally all this stuff at the same time. No, I'm not trying to be everywhere. I'm not trying to do everything. What I was trying to do, and I'm still trying to do, is to try life on, to plug into planet and earth as intended, and to fill my life book with experiences and relationships, and not just accept the status quo. So what we're going to do on this podcast is introduce you to the mindset, the skill set, the soul set, the approach that is Try Life On, and expose you to the people who've been doing it just like me, their tools, their tips, their tactics to trying life on, because we all can try life on in our own way. So sit back, relax, let's go for a ride. Let's go Try Life On. Welcome back, Try Life On family, to another edition of the Try Life On podcast. Money, 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 money. Money is such a long pole in the freedom tent. We have to focus on it. And even though I talk about money not being a destination, money not being the ultimate goal, life and freedom is the goal. It is definitely a tool that we have to hone our skills and sharpen our skills to get after better. I have a interesting relationship with money. And that's why Lisa Chastain, who is my guest today, who's a money coach and who has gone on her own financial journey, becoming that money coach, becoming an entrepreneur. My relationship with money is that my parents, being immigrant parents, were savers, right? They grew up in the 50s and the 60s. Savers, were in education, got a pension, save, save, save. At age 21, when I found the book Personal Finance for Dummies, and I learned about passive income. Then at age 26, I bought my first piece of real estate. I quickly became an investor. My money blueprint went from being a saver, which is what I learned from my parents, to being an investor and going after freedom. That's my money blueprint. What I didn't realize at the time, and now I realize more than ever after talking with Lisa today, is that there is an EQ part of money. There is an emotional side of money and your relationship with money and how you use it, how you view it. Is there shame in what you do on a day-to-day basis with your money? Are you comfortable with how you are managing it, et cetera? That's where a money coach comes in. And the more I think about it, I self-coached my own journey in my 20s and 30s through books and eventually hiring mentors and what have you. But there are many of you out there who make a significant amount of money or want to make a significant amount of money and don't understand your relationship with money and how to use that particular tool to design the life that you want. And again, that's where Lisa Chastain, who I interviewed today, comes in. She is an amazing money coach. And when she was 31 years old, she made the decision that she was never going to work for anyone again because she had followed the Midwestern path of marrying early, having 2.5 kids, white picket fence and a dog, getting 401k, you know, the typical standard American dream type life. It's not what she wanted. What she wanted was to define her own destiny, and money played a huge role. So she became a financial professional, and that led to her being a money coach because, as all great entrepreneurs do, she figured out that there's an emotional quotient when it comes to the money side of the house. I think this was a beautiful conversation. We are kindred souls in that we understand that life is not about money. Money is a tool to live your life. And the way that she spends time with people educating on money is a beautiful thing. And I want to bring it to your attention that there are money coaches out there. This is not a certified financial planner. They're not selling you products. They're helping you understand your relationship with money and how you're using it to get the style of life that you want. Okay. Lisa has written a book. You can just check it out on Amazon. And she talks about, if you go to lisachastain.com, she talks about stopping budgeting. I've never been a proponent of budgeting. I don't think that you can have a life full of abundance when you are constantly trying to live in a scarcity mindset. So she talks quite a bit about stop budgeting. She talks quite a bit about your relationship with money. She talks about your money personality. She's just a wonderful soul. And what I love about her, she's helping people live their best life now, not at age 65 when your 401k becomes available for you to use, but right now, this moment, right now. Take a listen to the interview. And when you get a chance, check out lisachastain.com. It's very few people who I interview who I immediately feel somewhat of a kindred spirit with. And Lisa was one of those people. And I think you'll agree, she is on a mission to help people understand money and how it impacts their life. And man, we need it. When it comes to trying life on, people think the destination is money. People think you need $20 million to be free. You don't. You need a few thousand above your expenses. You need a good relationship, understanding how money is going to power that lifestyle forward. And she just totally gets it. Anyways, I'm a little bit on my soapbox because it is just nice to meet somebody who gets it, especially in the money space, which I know is a very, very big thing for many of you listening. So hope you enjoy this conversation with my new friend, Lisa Chastain. If you appreciate the information I'm putting out, I ask you to consider giving me a 5-star review on Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen, and share the Try Life On podcast with other people. Help uplift other people the way I'm trying to uplift you. Have a great time listening to my friend, Lisa Chastain. So Lisa, we were just talking in the back room, and you said that you are from the Vegas area. And when was I in Vegas? 2008 to 2010, I was a special agent in charge of Detachment 216, Air Force Office of Special Investigations, Detachment 216. So OSI is like NCIS or the FBI, but of the Air Force. But how long have you been in the Vegas area?
I was born and raised in Vegas.
You were born and raised there. People don't even actually realize that people live. people actually live in Vegas, actually.
We exist. It's my generation and younger. There's way more of us. Under 40, there's way more. Yeah.
We're kicking around. You're in Henderson County? Henderson. I think it's Henderson County, yeah. Yeah, right on. I'm glad you came today. Because in Try Life On World, as we were talking about, finances are such a big, long pole in the tent, if you will. And it's what stops people from making progress towards whatever life they want to make. So maybe you can talk a little bit about your journey and what a money coach actually is. And I'll try and mesh it with what I help people do from a financial perspective too. But it was interesting to hear what you do, which is a money coach. What is that?
Yeah. I'm big picture, so I'll start big picture and then we'll take it down. Okay. Yeah. Big picture is that I have way more interest in what makes people tick and why they make the decisions that they make over giving some type of prescribed financial plan or prescribed financial investment portfolio strategy. So I started out wanting to help, first of all, myself. Isn't that the most people in the coaching space? I wanted to help myself and figure out money because I knew nothing about it growing up as a blue collar girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, this sounds like a challenge. Got my financial licenses like most people do. I had no idea that money coaching was even a thing. And back in 2017, it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know certified plan. I think you were a CFP before, certified financial planner. No.
No, I just had my Series 65.
You had your Series 65. So what is it? People may hear money coach and think certified financial planner because that's what we hear all the time, but I know it to be a bit different.
My entire focus is on helping my clients have a healthy relationship with money.
Mm.
And then there's the financial EQ side of it, which is the emotional intelligence side of our relationship with money, why we make the decisions that we make stemming back from our childhood. Drilling down, releasing, reframing anything that we need to do on the financial side of our lives that isn't serving us.
Mm.
And then the financial IQ side of it, which most people say that they're money coaches and they're really just mostly helping people make new choices with their money.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's the mindset, peeling back layers of the onion, healing emotional trauma and damage, and also simultaneously making sure that people know what they need to know to make choices financially.
So there's an EQ and an IQ, but when people are coming to you, they don't know that they have some kind of bad relationship with money, or do they? Or are you opening their eyes to, you don't have a money issue, you have a mindset related issue or something like that?
Yeah, the forward facing problem or challenge is that they can't hold on to money, or they have debt, or they can't figure out how to have what they want, or they're going through a divorce and need to figure out how to split up assets. They want to have more money. They don't know how to get there. And I have a lot of business owners who don't feel confident in their ability to financially run their company. Oh, so those are the pain points. Like, hey, I don't know how to do this. Help me how to do this. Learn how to do this. And they're like, yeah, okay. But let's figure out what's going on behind the scenes too first and make sure it's all connected and that it's sustainable.
Yeah.
Energetically.
So, in some of the material about you, I read the phrase money shame. What is, because it's kind of along the lines of what you were just talking about, but what is money shame and how does that affect people?
Shame is the feeling that you're doing something wrong or that what you're doing is not allowable or unforgivable. So bankruptcy would be a good example of shame. People hold on to shame around decisions they're making financially, where maybe they were taught that it's not okay to go into debt, but they have debt and they feel shame or guilt or anxiety about it. And that shame prevents them from actually talking about it. That shame drives them down into a downward spiral emotionally. People kill themselves because of financial shame.
Yeah. I totally understand that. So I'm a real estate investor. And when I started, technically I started at 21 reading books, but when I bought my first place at 26, it was 2002. So I benefited because I started buying at the beginning of the boom cycle of the 2000s. And I was just printing money with no knowledge, honestly, with no knowledge. Well, you know, what goes up must come down. So the 2008 downturn hit and half of my tenants of 30 some places stopped paying. Fortunately, I had six figures of liquidity sitting in the bank. I don't know where I got it from. Maybe a book told me to do it. So I did it. But if you're paying that many mortgages, that's going to run out really, really fast. So I faced bankruptcy. I faced short sales. I faced foreclosures. And it really starts to mess with you from a I told you so. I knew you weren't good enough to get through all this stuff. Fortunately, I didn't have a money coach per se, but what I did have was good books and a good dad. And he was like, no, these mistakes are just going to make you stronger for the future. And I stuck with it. I never filed bankruptcy and I made my way through. And here I am doing larger scale real estate nowadays. How do you coach people through that shame then? And then how do you help them learn how to make money? Because I read that about you where you say, I help teach people how to make money as opposed to just getting a paycheck from a job kind of thing.
Right, right. So the first question was, how do I help people work through financial shame?
Yeah.
One is help them get perspective because everybody thinks that they're the only one on the planet going through what they're going through. And financially, more than anything else, people are so isolated. Unless they're in some type of fringe culture. But even then, there's like other people around. I don't know, like financially, people just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And so the power of having a coach, first and foremost, is just having a place to come and actually share what's really going on. And that eases that heaviness. So thank goodness you had your father to talk to about it. And he gave you perspective.
He did. Yeah.
Right? Like this is not the end of the world. But for a lot of people, it feels like the end of the world.
It can. Yeah.
So perspective, also giving them a place emotionally to work through the emotions and release the emotions through NLP. There are a lot of tools and strategies and techniques that I can use to help people actually relieve those negative emotions that are going on in their body, which have been for a long time for all of us.
For sure. What is NLP? I know what it is, but what is NLP for folks listening?
Neuro-linguistic programming.
Yep. So you're trained in NLP too, or you just utilize it as well?
Yeah, I'm a trainer.
Oh, wow.
So I have all of the certifications in NLP.
Why did you go down this path? So I know you were corporate at the beginning.
Yep.
I'm asking a rhetorical question since I know your story now, but
okay.
it's important to say, why did you end up going down this path of being able to help people make money, understand the emotions around money, take control of their lives? What happened in your journey that pushed you down this direction?
I love the name of your podcast, Try Life On.
Yeah.
I woke up in my mid 30s. I'll never forget that crystalline, like crystal clear moment for me where I said, this is not the life that I am meant to be living.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching Oprah.
Of course. Yeah.
I might have told this story in my book, but it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My son was 3 years old. I could not wait for him to take a nap, pour a glass of wine, and just veg out for 2 hours watching Oprah. And then right after Oprah was Ellen. And that was my therapy as a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, what the heck am I doing with my life? What am I doing? I don't want to be on this couch doing this thing. I love being a mom. I love my son. And that was the wake up moment for me where I said, I gotta figure this out. I have to get back to work. That was the first thing I told myself. I gotta get back to work. But I left my first job knowing I didn't ever want to go back to work. I said, I'm never gonna work. Unconsciously, I told myself, I'm never gonna work for anybody ever again. And I'm going to figure that out. I'm going to figure it out, come hell or high water, what that's going to take. And yep. I had to face my serious, serious demons around that, because there was not one person in my life at that time that told me I could be successful being an entrepreneur.
You mean going down the entrepreneurial path?
Being a business owner. I mean, everybody was like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is not safe. Do not do that.
That's that status quo language that everybody runs into. We run back to safety, where goodness is right on the other side of fear if you can just get yourself to take a few steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. So you made the mental decision, consciously or subconsciously, that you were going to work for yourself, or not work for anybody else, put it that way.
Yeah.
But you end up in this money space. How?
I got an email from Farmers Insurance and it said you can make $400,000 a year selling insurance. And I was like, well, that sounds great.
To me too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I called my best friend at the time, who was my financial advisor. And I said, is this true? And she said, mm-hmm. yes. But knowing how passionate you are for people, I've always been a coach. I was an advisor in higher education. I just naturally gravitated to being an advisor and mentor in my career. She mm-hmm. said, knowing you, you're going to want to work with people and want to help people. Why don't you become a financial advisor with me?
Nice.
I said, okay. I mean, unlimited earning potential. The wealthiest people on the planet are in the financial services industry. So mm-hmm. I started to connect the dots. Like, okay, that sounds great. I knew nothing. I was naive and hopeful and I had a dream and I was like, let's go for it. But I had a belief in myself.
Yep.
That's what started my journey into financial services.
But you went after it. So let me take a step back. So you went into financial services, but were you yourself sound financially? And you know why I say this? Because I found my own way to financial freedom with real estate and cash flow, which I'll ask you about later, but I'm a massive believer in cash flow, because cash flow, I can use it to go to the grocery store and buy my steaks and watermelon and soda and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Versus net worth, which is just sitting on a piece of paper.
Right.
I found my own way to financial freedom. But when I spent some time with a planner, I never forget this guy. It's a common name. So his name was Steve. And he worked for USAA, since I'm a military guy.
Okay.
And he was like, nah, just sock away as much money as you can in the S&P 500 and you'll be fine when you're in your 60s.
What are you going to do with that?
Nothing. So I'm curious your perspective on it, because my thought in my 20s was, look, if I can generate cash flow, then I can create time, or at least choice. I can create mm-hmm. choice, but also time. And if I have time, then I can go live as a millionaire, a billionaire without being one. Because if you have a little bit of money with a lot of time, then you can do a lot of things in this world. But it feels like the typical notion of planners out there is just to tell you to put money in mutual funds and you'll be fine when you get to a certain point. But that's not living from my perspective. What's your thought on that?
There's no one size fits all approach to money.
Yeah.
There's no one strategy, philosophy that's going to work for everyone. And financial advisors are being forced right now to think mm-hmm. more creatively. high, you know, high net worth financial advisors already think like this because their clients have those values and freedom and they're building businesses. But the average financial advisor, that's mm-hmm. what they're taught. That's what I was taught. Get your money into some investment vehicles. Mm-hmm. Keep investing in those investment vehicles, dollar cost average, keep, you know, keep earning money. But that freedom conversation, that needs to be instilled by someone, somewhere, somehow. Mm-hmm. And the work that I do is help people connect the dots to what is it that they, how are they going to create the life that they want? So for you, cash flow, I totally agree. Cash is king. Cash is queen.
Cash is king, No doubt. Yeah.
People want that. This generation, millennials, and definitely Gen Z, they're like, we want freedom. Help us figure that out sooner than later. And real estate has been a huge conversation helping people create that kind of cash flow and freedom. People are starting to connect the dots. But traditional financial advice does not give that advice.
I made a post about a conversation I had with a financial person. I don't think he was a planner, but he was a financial related person in the industry, maybe a year and a half ago. And this is what he told me. And it rubbed me the wrong way, not because I'm not in control of my own financial destiny. I am. It's just that I know that this person is out there advising people and it really bothers me. And what he told me was, hey, Maurice, I have these awesome products and these will make you wealthy. And I said, well, no, I'm doing really well. I have X number of passive income coming in from real estate. That's free whatever. It was like 30 grand at the time, 30 grand cash flow coming in a month from real estate. I'm doing okay. And he's like, yeah, but are you in the 100 million range net worth? I'm like, no. Are you above 50 million net worth? No. Well, where are you? Well, I said, I'm well into the eight figures, but I don't really care about net worth. I care about the cash flow coming in because that's how I live. He's like, yeah, but see, these products will get you to deca millionaire or centimillionaire status on net worth. That's when you know you're living. I'm like, no, thanks. I'm good. So it's almost like they're imparting certain people. I don't think you, but certain, I know not you, but certain people are imparting other people's definition of success on top of the financial industry and telling clients, this is what you need to do without even taking into account that person's life related goals.
It's crazy. And it's the way the industry was designed. Yeah. I have a whole episode about this on my YouTube channel, is that not all financial advisors are the same. And you have to do your due diligence. Just because someone's a financial advisor does not mean that they know how to advise you.
Right.
And for that reason, a lot of people get into the financial industry and they're financial advisors, but they can only sell 5 products.
Yeah. Right.
But because the money coaching part of it is that I don't necessarily know more than you. I know a lot about money.
Yep.
But you know more about you than I do. So let's figure out what's going to make you tick, what's going to make you excited, where you're going to be able to align into your lifestyle, your desires, your values. And then whatever you decide to do with your money needs to intersect and support you with what you want to do with your life.
Right. Right.
And I have a client, she's young, she's not even 30 yet. And the shame, going back to shame, she was raised to believe a certain thing about life, which was you grow up, you go to college, you get married, you get a good job, you have 2.5 kids, and that's what you do in Midwestern United States.
Yep.
And she came to me and she's like, I don't want that life.
I don't want to do this shit. I'm not about that life. I like her already.
But a year has been the struggle and the battle of her internally cleaning up and clearing out that belief system and for herself learning that it's going to be okay. Her parents are still going to love her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But how, so then if she, I get it, because I very much so value mentors and coaches. In fact, I pay well into 6 figures every year. I mean, I had the library when I started, but now I can afford it because you guys can help us cut through the mess. She has a safe person in you, and actually someone who's walked the walk, but a safe person in you to have those kind of conversations. Then what do you, okay, I'm in a professional listening to this podcast now.
Okay.
I resonate with that Midwest story. I don't want to do this stuff. I'm in my late 20s. I want to be free. Everyone's definition of freedom is a little bit different. But what are you telling them to do with their money? Like, what is like, and I know everybody's different, but can you give me some kind of example on like actionable steps that people have taken with you?
I'll walk you through her story.
Yeah.
It's not unlike any other story, but low financial IQ, low financial EQ.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very, very smart woman. She's college educated. On the financial side, she was avoiding her money at all costs because of the belief that she had that she was bad at money because she wasn't following the traditional route of life. Because she doesn't have a lot of money in savings yet. She's living in Italy. She's living a lifestyle she loves. She's a freelance writer. Like, things are lining up for her. So the very first thing I teach her is how to master her cash flow and how to look at her money and how to make decisions with her money so she can work on having a healthier relationship with it so she can feel better about the decisions she is making on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cash flow number one.
You and I are very much right here. Cash flow is everything to me.
Yeah.
Does that mean, so some people, when you say master your cash flow, some people might interpret that as budgeting or keeping expenses low, which I see you shaking your head, and I know you're not about the budgeting, but can you draw the distinction for folks who are listening? Like, what is mastering cash flow versus managing a budget, for example?
A budget is like a prescription financially. Somehow it comes across this way. Like, someone has a budget sheet out there, you follow the budget sheet, and all of a sudden your life's going to be magical. I prefer the methodology of tracking your money and learning how to watch your money as you're making decisions. So I've taught her how to six months plan out her cash flow and see exactly when you make this decision with your money, where are you going to be in 6 months? This is not about following a budget. This is about, do you understand how your decisions compound and help you move forward? Or is there going to be a sticking point in 3 or 6 months that you're going to need to figure out? If you take this job versus this job, what does that do to your cash flow over the next 6 months to a year? That's more financial forecasting, and that's making decisions that you know are all working toward the greater good of your life.
Do you subscribe to people using certain tools for that? Is it Excel? Is it automated? Like, what is it?
Excel is the simplest, easiest way to do it. It really is.
Yeah.
I have a very simple tracker that I teach my clients to use, and I still use it personally.
You still use it personally too? Yeah.
Personally,
So I'm a big fan of Excel, and I'm a big fan of keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I deal with hundreds of millions of dollars of investor money, I don't like 38 different tool sets that we have to use and things of that nature. I think some people get frozen by all the technology that exists out there that purports to, you use this and your money issues are going to go away. You're going to see everything clearly or that. And I think that now listening to you, and now you're going to make me do research, but now listening to you, that goes back to money EQ, where, you know, emotionally you're like, man, let me just get this tool and it will solve everything. But that's not the case.
No. And I work with couples who have all the tools and they're more confused and lost in how they're making decisions.
Yeah.
So I like to just keep a framework of put your money in a spending account, delegate it out there. That's the money you have to spend. Enjoy it. You have money in your main account. That's where money comes into. Track how that money's coming in, where it's coming in from. Now, you know, investment portfolio money and businesses, that's run a little differently, but household cash flow, everybody has that.
Yeah, of course.
Right. And how you're managing that is going to dictate your overall flow of life.
Yeah.
So if you can keep that real simple, and in our household, my husband gets his money every week. We get our money every week. We have money in there. We don't have money in there. Like, I don't stress a whole lot about it. That's what we have.
Yep.
And everything else flows and everything else is being invested or saved or utilized for other reasons, other purposes. So but I don't want to overcomplicate that for the listener.
Totally. And for what it's worth, for people who are listening, because I know you say stop budgeting. I don't budget. I never have budgeted. I'm a big believer in abundance. Don't get me wrong. I do what's called storing money.
Yeah.
I pay myself first before I say it all the time. I pay myself first before the cable, before the Wi-Fi, You got to pay your future self first, because that's the money you're going to use to go buy some asset or do, or self-education, or do something good with your family, and then everything else comes. But I've never had success pinching my expenses to the extent that it saves me a ton. And it feels like that's kind of what you talk to your clients about in that space as well.
Yeah, it's total scarcity. I was on Avery. I don't know if you, Avery Carl, she runs a short-term rental podcast, and okay, she was challenging me on that. She's like, I love budgeting. And I'm like, well, temporarily, if you have a goal and you like, you know, like very clearly that there's a temporary short-term goal that you're trying to meet and you need to budget and like really, you know, really get clear on your numbers to get to that goal, which is what she had to do to buy her first short-term rental, and you're a W-2, cool. But as an overall life playbook, not cool. It sounds not fun.
I don't want to live that way at all.
No.
Yeah, for sure. But I, you know, I want to give people a sense, like I'm okay financially now. I'm 48. I started my financial journey at 21. So I was curious, and I started the book that got me on my journey. I picked up Personal Finance for Dummies when I was 21.
Okay.
And I read one flipping passage in there about passive income. 6 years earlier, when I was 15, I went on a trip to France. It changed my life because I was just an inner city Haitian kid from Boston, hadn't seen anything yet. And I'm like, oh man, the world has a lot to offer. What else is out there? If I can get me some passive income, I can get some time. If I can get some time, I can go travel more. That was my whole philosophy of why I went on this crazy journey. I got to basic expenses covered in 2008. So $6,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It was a slog. It was 7 years to do that. And then I got to more money than I was making from work in 2014, $13,000 a month. But that was 14 years. It's not, there's no instant. I don't,
no.
The internet is killing people with this whole instant thing, unless you win the lottery. But even if you win the lottery, you don't have the skill set to maintain it or multiply it anyway. And the reason I was saying that is because now I'm in a position where my assets buy assets. I'm a simple dude. I drive a 05 car still. Like, I love my car, just about to hit 200,000 miles. The bills never stop.
What kind of car is it?
Infinity.
Nice.
they never stop running. They're as long as you take care of them, they keep running.
Yeah.
But I wanted to tell people on the budgeting thing, the more money I've had, bills always show up.
Yep.
It never stops. You can't, from my perspective, you can't budget your way out of a financial, like into this financial la-la land or something. Because every time I get home, the kids have a bill. I have a bill. There is a new tax. There's tax rates go up. Now I, you know, I'm starting some other businesses, so I have some costs related to that. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. It just never stops. You either have to increase your income, change your lifestyle, change your EQ, how you're thinking about life in general. I tell people, you don't need 20 million to be free. A few zeros, a few thousand will do, depending on what your basic needs are.
Yep.
If you're choosing to live in New York City and you need $15,000 a month just to survive, that's a choice. But people seem to make those choices. Do you find that some of your clients are just stuck in the, I don't want to call it the Joneses, because that's very like
typical. I think it's overused. Yeah.
It's overused. But you know what I mean? Like they're just stuck in this mantra of, I have to have this vision. I have to have this house. I have to have this car. And because that's what a lot of people listening are stuck in. And they don't know how to, one, they may not even realize it, that they're stuck in that rut. And two, they just don't know how to get out of it.
Yep. It starts at a very young age. The imprinting on us starts before the age of 7. So that's the EQ side of it.
Okay.
And that
from family.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Family. And even before we were born, I just saw a post this morning that I'm a part of my grandmother. Like my mother, when my grandmother was pregnant with my mother, I was in my mother as one of those eggs. Like it's deep. Like these are deeply rooted family generational traditions and values that become imprinted on us. They teach us how to live.
Mm-hmm.
So to that point, if you're listening to this and you're stuck, or for who we were just speaking into, thinking that we have to live a certain way, when did you decide that?
Mm.
And you're not in choice if that's the conversation you're in. You're not in choice.
And you can be.
You can be.
You can be. And going back to your thought about your mom and your grandma, I call that a financial blueprint. My parents are immigrant parents from Haiti, pretty much raised in the 50s and 60s, really. So they were savers, bar none. Savers, educators, let me get a pension, et cetera.
Yep.
My blueprint, just showing people that you don't have to stick to the blueprint that you were raised with. As soon as I read that book at 21 and made my first real estate deal at 26, I became an investor. I didn't know how not to invest. So every time I had a 10,000 or, you know, it took me 5 years to save up the first down payment. I was that committed to it. But I saved that down payment and my dad was like, you should save that money. I'm like, nah, I'm going to go invest the money to make it multiply and to grow.
Yeah.
You don't have to stick by your money blueprint. But I think that goes back to what you're saying, that there is work that you can do on your EQ and IQ to flip that blueprint.
Absolutely. There's absolutely things that you can do. One is acknowledging that that doesn't have to be your version of success. It's deeply personal. Same thing. My dad was poor in Georgia. He worked for everything he had. He barely graduated high school because he was supporting his mom, eventually his dad. And he taught us, because he was the earner, my mom didn't work. You play it safe. Don't take a management position. Don't rock the boat. You know, get your pension, get health insurance, and call it a day.
Yep.
And that was that awakening at 30, when I was 31, 32. I was like, what the fuck? What am I doing? Right?
Yeah, the dog.
And I knew at a young age I was meant for more.
Yeah.
And I have dreams. And so you have to challenge that reality. You have to challenge that blueprint if there is something different that you do want. Not everybody will do that in their lifetime, and that's okay.
Not everybody will do it, but we all have the capacity to do it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons I'm so fortunate you came on is because you are, to me, I like meeting ordinary people. I mean, it's in a positive way, by the way.
Yeah.
I like meeting ordinary people who do extraordinary things. I think the way that you are helping people understand that there is a mindset to the money game, and then the money game can drive your mindset. It is a service that we don't have enough of in society at all. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, relative to trying life on, you weren't willing to go with the status quo for your own self at all.
No.
So especially for women, because I know you lean heavily on empowering women, which I love. What would you tell someone, not even from a money perspective, just your own life? Like you've gone down this journey of being an entrepreneur, designing your own life in a way, and now help empowering people to do the same, whether it's through money or not. I'm sure you talk about non-money stuff all the time as a coach, right? What would you tell people who are listening, especially women, but what would you tell people about going on their own journey? Because so many of them are just standing at the ledge, just looking down, waiting to jump.
Oh my gosh. Two things I think that are really important. And thank you for that question.
Yeah.
Two things. One, you have the answers within. A great coach, a great expert does not have the answers for you. You have the answers within. Find someone who will pull that out of you and take the time to get curious and get to know you so you can get to know yourself. And the second thing is, information alone is not going to get you where you want to go in your life.
Yep.
When you say standing on the ledge, especially in finance, we are in this information overload era where there's always another expert. There's always another course to take. There's always another methodology, something to learn. You have to get to know yourself and you have to take action. That comes with, like you said, the risk. What if I fail? Well, what if you do?
So what? Yeah,
what
exactly.
If you do?
Exactly.
Oh gosh. You know, I'd rather, I just yesterday was meditating on what my life will look like when I'm 95 years old. My family lives a long time.
Yeah.
Got those genes.
Yeah.
It's likely I'm going to live to be longer, older than 95. And I said, oh my God, picturing myself at 95 years old brought this whole life into perspective really, really fast.
What are you going to be doing?
I hope my kids will still be around.
Yeah.
So what's important? My kids, grandkids, great grandkids. sitting on the beach house that my husband and I are talking about buying right now. Mm. Right? 10 acres in Utah that we're looking at purchasing right now. Mm. We're building the dream so that when I'm 95, I'm building the dream. I'm building a business, inspiring people. Like Wayne Dyer says, just go help people.
Mm-hmm.
And at 95, I want to be able to say I did it. I did everything that I wanted to do in my life.
I love it. I hope people picked up on the fact that you are actually, you just gave a wonderful example of someone who is designing their life.
Yeah.
So for me, Lisa, it's actually, you just struck a chord with me, because when I was designing my life in my 20s and 30s, I felt very alone doing it, because it wasn't really like, first of all, there was no LinkedIn, there was no Facebook. I think Yahoo had just come around. It was just kind of a weird time. But I'm doing things now, like I'm in DC now, but I float back and forth between DC and the Mediterranean. So I'm usually in Lebanon or Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building a home in Cyprus. I'm doing some development work in Cyprus, but I'm purposefully building a home because I know that when my youngest, who's 11, is probably 16 or 17 or close to getting out, I'm out. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I love the U.S. I'm grateful for what it gave me, but I was born in New York, raised in Boston, live in Washington, D.C. I know the East Coast. I'm not learning anything more. But back to money being the center of a lot of things, money is just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
I am intentionally using it to design life a certain way. Maybe I've developed my own financial EQ, that it's mm-hmm. There's no destination to it. And one more thing I just want to throw out there, since I'm on the thread, I've done a ton of real estate deals. I don't know anymore how many I've done, but I don't want to do anymore, to be honest. I have enough. And there comes a point in the money game where your assets will grow naturally, and it's okay. Don't get me wrong. If like something comes along every once in a while, I might do something.
Sure.
But when are you going to live? Like when is the living part? When is the intentional, I have enough cash flow, now let me go explore further culture and people and maybe build a business, but it would be more of a, like I'm looking into 5-bedroom Airbnbs now in Greece because I want to run one and just be a part of a community somewhere or something like that. I love, love, love that you are designing your life, and you're just a great example of someone who's doing that.
Yeah. Thank you. What other way is there to live?
I don't know any other, but I think you and I are kindred from that perspective where we get that we can make a conscious choice on how we are going to exist. I think that a lot of other people are just still in the herd.
Mm-hmm.
And the herd is going right. They want to go left. Maybe they need a coach like Lisa. They want to go left, but they don't feel empowered to go left, but they know that they should. Hence the Try Life On podcast.
Yeah.
Hence coaches like you.
Yeah.
And hence why I brought you on today. So I really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. I can't wait to rewatch this episode. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, you are so welcome. And how do folks, by the way, you're coaching beyond just women, you're coaching men too. And what's your, just for folks listening, what's your persona of coaching student? Who typically comes to you, just for folks who are looking?
So my private clients right now, most of them tend to be business owners.
Okay.
Entrepreneurs who know that their relationship with money is stopping them from having the happiness and the joy that they want. Scarcity tends to be a primary conversation. They're living in scarcity and fear, even though they're making great money.
Yeah.
So I'm helping my clients learn how to live while building whatever it is that they want to build. That would be a great client that I'm working with. And for women who want to challenge, who naturally challenge the status quo and just want to get to them, know that their own financial EQ, I've got some great courses and programs for them too. Events, sweet. Courses. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Well, and where can folks find you?
LisaChastain.com.
LisaChastain.com. Well, Lisa Chastain at LisaChastain.com. Thanks for coming on the Try Life podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Hey guys, this is Maurice, host of the Try Life On podcast. And thank you for listening to another episode. I hope you are finding it useful in helping you design your own lifestyle that you don't need a vacation from. If that's the case, please consider dropping a review for me, whether in Apple, iTunes, or in Spotify. Drop a review, put some stars on it. Give me some feedback on how I can make the podcast better, what information you are looking for. I am doing my best to get information to you on the Tri Life On principles, the five freedoms, how to build lifestyle, travel hacking, all of it. And I want to do it for you. So please do a review for me. And until next time, my name is Maurice Philogene, and this is the Tri Life On podcast. Peace.